Hi everyone, and welcome to our EY Careers Uncovered podcast series. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be focusing on school leavers and apprenticeship opportunities. I'm Verity Pope, and I'm part of the UK employer brand team. EY is a professional services organisation that helps companies make better decisions about business, finance and technology. How? By asking better questions to help us all build a better working world and to create long-term value for our people, clients and society. This podcast series is here to cover a range of topics around apprenticeships, belonging at EY, what it's like working in the regional offices, and embracing the new normal that is a virtual working world. It's important to know that when we recorded these podcasts, the United Kingdom went into another national lockdown, so all of our people are working from home. Our people and apprentices will be sharing their stories in their own words, and I hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired to consider an apprenticeship opportunity with us. In today's episode, we'll be focusing on two key business areas that we have available for our business academy and apprenticeship opportunities: assurance and tax. Our assurance teams help our clients make good decisions and publish accurate financial accounts that others can rely on by asking better questions and solving complex problems. And in tax, we help organisations from startups to influential multinationals manage every element of their business's tax as trusted advisors to our clients. Today we're talking to Nia Sim, a 2019 London-based assurance business apprentice, and to Jai Sikka, 2019 tax business apprentice based in Birmingham. They share their experiences of working as an apprentice in these areas, solving the myths that come with working in each business area, and how to build confidence with their teams and clients.
But what I wanted to do, start the podcast today by asking you how you're feeling at the moment. Jai, I'll start with you.
I'm doing all right, actually. It's a third lockdown now, so I'm finally getting into the gist of things. I think last year I was a bit like, I don't know what to do because everything's changed. But now, like a year on, I think I've got a routine going.
Yeah, a bit of routine, a bit of new normal. And Nia, what about you?
I'm feeling quite good. Just this week started back, so got my new setup. So I'm really ready for the busy season that I'm going to.
And where is home for you both? Where are you kind of based at the moment?
I live in Kent, so I'm just about a 30-minute train journey from London.
Yeah, and I'm just north of Birmingham, about another 30-minute drive as well.
Can you tell me a bit more about your role, about the programme you're on, and obviously your current location?
Okay, so I work in the London Canary Wharf office, and I sit within financial services. I work in assurance in the wealth and asset management department. So I mainly deal with like investments, private equity, asset managers, and so on. And I work in a team of about 10 people at the moment, and we are all completing an audit for a private equity firm. And we basically work through all of their financials to make sure that we can confirm that we're happy with what they've produced.
And thank you so much. With assurance, because obviously you're in the assurance team, but you were mentioning the words audit there. For someone that potentially doesn't know what assurance means, can you decipher that a little bit? Can you just explain why it's called assurance and the programme that you're in?
It's basically making sure you're comfortable with the financials that people have produced, and making sure you can give evidence and provide comfort over everything they are producing to the public, and making sure that what the public sees isn't like a lie.
And Jai, so which apprentice programme are you on, and when did you join us?
So I'm on the business apprenticeship scheme, so I think just like Nia, and we both actually joined in September 2019, straight out of school as well, so when we were 18. And the scheme is meant to last about 4.5 years, I think, In this scheme, we will do all of our like accounting exams. So by the end of the scheme, we're meant to be like fully qualified chartered accountants. But we also get something called like a level 7 accreditation. I got onto this because I did the Business Academy, which is kind of a work experience week at EY.
Is that when you were in year 12?
Yeah, so I applied to that actually around the same time for year 12 now, actually. It was around kind of February, March time.
Okay.
And then it happened in the summer between year 12 and 13. So that was a really good thing to do, actually. It gave me an insight onto EY, hence why I came here.
And so you talked a bit about obviously how you got into tax. What else attracted you to join our tax business apprenticeship? What was it about this apprenticeship and tax as a business area that caught your attention?
I just really liked the EY culture, like, because I, when I was applying for the business academy there, I found like the people I met really nice, and I felt comfortable after a week being here. So that's why it was kind of a no-brainer when I thought I was going to join it before I would join EY.
Did you know much about tax before you joined EY?
Honestly, like, no. It's probably going to sound a bit daft, but when I thought of tax before I joined EY, I just thought, like, this is how much profit a business makes, times this by like 19%, that's their tax. Yeah. This is how much income you make, times that by like whatever bracket you're in, that's the tax. And like that, now thinking back to like what I thought then, I'm thinking like, wow, I can't believe I used to think that, because coming to like EY and I realized tax is so much more complicated.
Yes.
Like tax alone in EY is broken down into like loads of different sub-service lines. And then within each sub-service line, there's even more service lines. Like I sit within international tax and transaction services. Mm-hmm. And then I sit within transfer pricing that sits within that.
Cool. Would you say the same, Nia? Would you say the same for your service line? It's kind of, there's lots to learn when you get there.
Definitely. Well, even with the different clients I've been on, they've been completely sort of different environments and different types of transactions altogether. So you're really getting a wide view of different sorts of companies and what they actually do. And even within assurance, we've got banking and we've got insurance, we've got wealth and asset management. So there's really a wide range of different types of company. And even if you were to go to UK and I, they've got like the retail, and there's so many opportunities to learn about different sorts of companies and how the metrics work in between them.
Is there anything you know now to be a myth about your business area? It's clearly a myth, but a lot of people still don't know that until they get there. Because I think a lot of students that will be listening will kind of be going, oh, but you know, they know this, they think this, and it's all that kind of myth busting, I think, that's really important. Is there anything you can share on that?
I'd probably say like how strictly corporate and how strict people might think EY would be, being assurance, because obviously we have like the dress for your day, and you work in like a really, even though we're so large, we still work with like small teams. Mm-hmm. So you still really have a good support system, and it's not as scary as it might sound.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that, Nia.
So Nia, you said that you joined in 2019, so you've been on program, you've been on your business apprenticeship for I guess a year and a half now, and have spent a lot of it working from home. But what was it about kind of assurance itself that attracted you to apply to the business apprenticeship at EY? Was it something at school? You know, can you talk a bit about what attracted you to assurance?
So during sixth form, I had a liking towards the maths and that sort of side of things and transactions. And so when we came to year 12 work experience, I did a week at a local audit firm. Okay. And then I also did a week at a local insurance firm as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got some experience of what, and when I was at those firms, they let me do a day in each department, and that really gave me like a wide view of what I kind of like to do. So I really liked the finance department, and there was a auditor I got on really well with, and I really enjoyed the work that he was doing. So that kind of gave me an idea of how I wanted to go into it. But then I was trying to decide between going to university and doing an apprenticeship, and I had to basically write a pros and cons list to both, because I put what qualifications I'd get.
Yeah.
And even if I went to university, I still would have had to do exams afterwards to get where I'm going to be at the end of this.
Yeah.
And it was then, once I realised that, it was kind of a no-brainer, because I'm going to get 4 and a bit years of experience on top of getting a level 7, which is the equivalent of a master's.
Yeah.
And it had the exact service line I wanted to work in, so it would just fit perfectly.
Cool. Jay, would you say the same? Would you say, you know, is there anything you think you need to add to that?
No, she said it all, like right down to the pros and cons list. I think I did the same thing.
It's kind of that preconception and that, you know, if you're an apprentice, I think a lot of parents that might be listening to this would really kind of benefit from knowing when you're an apprentice, you're doing a professional qualification, aren't you? You're part of this kind of team from the start, from the get-go, and you're learning loads. So I guess what we could talk about for a bit is kind of what kind of work do you do? What does a typical day look like for you?
I mainly report to my senior on my team, but there's also my manager that I speak to as well.
Okay.
And they will distribute the tasks to me so I can get on with them myself, and ask them questions when need be. I might work with someone at a similar sort of level as well. And we,
Okay.
because at the moment I'm collaborating with someone on a task. So it's quite nice to have that sort of team interaction
And
still,
when you
even though
say
I work
senior,
from
do you
home.
mean like are they someone like on an apprenticeship and a couple of years above you? Are they a graduate or are they kind of finished a qualification?
So I've got quite a few seniors actually. I've got one senior who was in my position last year, so
Oh,
she's
cool.
midway through her qualifications as well. So it's really nice to be able to work with her when she knows exactly how I'm feeling at the same points.
Yes, yeah.
But then I also work with seniors who are qualified, and then some that are like qualifying as we go through these busy seasons and stuff. So you get a real range of experience and people with different experiences as well.
And you just mentioned busy season there, which is a
Yes.
what I would call an apprentice graduate buzzword,
Yeah.
because it's there's obviously busy seasons for kind of every team and different teams. But what is your busy season, and why is it called busy season?
So within assurance, busy season usually lasts for about 4 months, and it's from January to April time. That is mainly because the majority of businesses' year ends are about January or in February, March, and it's basically at the end of their accounting period, we are going through everything and closing up for the final year. So obviously the workload doubles compared to the rest of the year.
Okay.
But it's not as scary as it sounds, and people can make it out to be scarier than I think it is,
Yeah.
because you're working in such a collaborative team that yes, you may have to work a few more hours, but you don't necessarily always notice you are, because you're working with a group of people who are all in the same position.
Okay, and what about you, Jay, then? From a tax point of view, you know, talk us through a typical day. What does that look like?
I would say it's very different to audit in the sense that auditors kind of work on the one client, and because there is like a big workload there, they kind of all work together on that. In tax, it's more likely that you're working on multiple different clients. Yeah, it's not like obviously the same workload as like with audit on that one client, obviously, because then it's kind of more diluted. So you'll be doing little bits on each one, and so that's why there's no such thing as like a typical day, because there's so many kind of different clients, and specifically in like transfer pricing, there's a lot of different things that you could be doing with each client, which is
Yeah.
why you don't necessarily end up doing the same thing every day.
So Jay, just continuing with your kind of your clients, what was your first client engagement or your first client project when you joined EY back in 2019? Do you remember it?
No, I do, because it's actually one I'm still working on. It the length of these projects can go on for quite a while.
Okay.
So I was brought in on this project in, I think, literally after I joined 2019, and from this client, we've got loads more work streams, because what happens is once you're working on one project with a client, if you do a good job, then they're more likely to come back to EY to help with other things. And
Yeah.
obviously, yeah, professional services is something that every company needs. So it's not like the work ever really dries up. So there's always something to do.
Yeah. And do you engage with other apprentices? Have you got seniors like what Nia was talking about with her seniors? Do you have that and how do you interact with them?
Yeah, so it's really good, especially I think I was fortunate to have the first 6 months of my apprenticeship in the office, because I got to meet the other school leavers. So
Oh.
there's also other business apprentices, and in the Birmingham office there is about six of us working in tax who all joined in September 2019. So those are like I call them more friends than colleagues, because we're in different service lines, so we don't actually work with each other, but it's great to have like kind of a, like a friend network within EY. So
yeah,
I do talk to them quite a lot. And then my actual counselor, so I don't know if like the people outside of EY would know this, but we get given counselors at EY, and they essentially help you with like every kind of aspect of your job if you have any questions or stuff like, or like any kind of big queries or like about your career progression.
Yeah.
And my counselor is actually a school leaver as well, so she started when she was 18 and now she's kind of been at EY for over 6 years, so that's really great because she knows exactly what I'm going through.
Yeah. And is she in tax as well?
Yeah, she's actually in my exact service line and everything.
Great. So there's someone that you can kind of bounce ideas off, ask questions to, that just gives you that
definitely
support.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. And Nia, do you have a counsellor?
I do. I've literally had a call with her this morning.
To
go through what I want to basically achieve in the next few months. Basically, my well-being as well. Just she wanted to check in on how I'm coping with things.
Yeah.
Especially with exams. Yeah, my counsellor is great and we communicate quite often.
Yeah.
She's really helpful with any sort of career progression. If you want to have any sort of those conversations, you can go to her and you can literally, she'll know who to contact and she'll find you someone to get you to whatever answer you need. It's definitely a change to school because at school, obviously, in year 13, I was just revising, basically.
Yep.
Whereas you do have to really manage your time because you're coming from a full day of work. And then you have to separate some time in your evenings as well.
Yeah.
Say, okay, I'm going to do 2 hours today. I'm going to do an hour today. But as long as you make a plan in your head, it becomes completely manageable.
Yeah.
And I'd say it was quite a benefit during the lockdown because it gave me something else to do.
Yeah,
I wasn't
absolutely
bored out of my brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was doing something.
Literally like that. I felt like lockdown gave us so much more time to revise.
Yeah, Jay, exactly. Are you doing the same qualification?
Yeah, I'm doing the same qualification as Nia. I just finished my certificate level literally just the day before I went on Christmas break. And
nice, I can relax at Christmas.
yeah, definitely. And so now I'm going to be starting the next level, I think, late February, early March.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be sitting about 4 exams this year. But it's like it's not bad because obviously EY give us days out to go and learn at college.
Yeah.
And they give us kind of days off or like study breaks and study leave revisions, so it's all manageable.
And your counsellor that you were talking about and your buddy that you have, the seniors that you work with, they're all going through this as well, right? So all they've been through it, so they do understand what you're going through. So do they give you the time back? Can you talk to them about how you're feeling?
Yeah, I definitely say people have a real understanding of sometimes how stressful it can get if you're really worried about an exam. People are very understanding of that, and we had some feedback come through recently and someone did mention that they were impressed that I completed something even though I was quite stressed about an exam that was coming up the next few days.
Yeah.
And people often are more willing to give, say you wanted to take an extra day of annual leave to revise, they're normally very willing to give you those days because they know how vital that extra day just without your work brain being on can be.
And when you've been working on with your clients and your teams, were you surprised at how much responsibility you kind of got?
I'd say I was sending my first email to a client was the scariest thing I've ever done.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's just, you really think about exactly how you're writing it and exactly what you want people to read it as. And that was obviously quite daunting, but now it's just second nature.
I think it's the same for kind of everyone, like even in when you join any new role, you're worried about learning loads of new things and do you say the right thing? And then all of a sudden one day someone asks you a question and you don't even think about it, you just answer and you go, oh, I've got it now.
Definitely. Like I've been coaching a girl who's just joined as an apprentice and I forget that I've had to learn those things and you don't realise you've learned them because they just come naturally eventually. But yeah, it's really weird when you compare what you were a year ago to how you are now.
Yeah,
I think you don't realize it until you do kind of have to mentor someone like who's just started the year below you, and then you're like, wow, did I really pick all this up?
What knowledge did you have of EY of potentially the other big four?
I didn't really have much, I wouldn't say. I only really had what I'd been told from the work experience I'd done.
Okay.
So I'd spoken to some people and a guy said, search for the big four and you can learn a bit more. He was always like, go for those four because you'll get a good apprenticeship. So that's how I sort of learned about who the big four were, mm-hmm. learned who EY was, and then I researched all four and I did some digging into basically what their cultures were like, what they could offer me, and that's how I sort of came to I knew which service line I wanted to be in,
yeah,
but that's how I sort of came to the decision of where I wanted to take that.
And then so you applied for the Business Academy with us, so you joined an EY technically in 2018. How was that Business Academy week? What did you learn and what did you go through, and then the process after that to join us now?
So the Business Academy was essentially, they put me into a different service line to what I'm actually working in now, but mm-hmm. the kind of principle was the same. So I got to kind of learn the ropes. I got to like know what it was like for a week in tax. I even got taken out to like a client site during my work experience week, which is really cool. Interesting. A really fancy office building as well, so I was like, wow, this is the life. And then I also got to kind of make some friends who were also doing the Business Academy there, who I actually now work with, two of them, because they've both kind of come onto the apprenticeship as well.
Amazing. Your application process for that Business Academy, but I think what's really kind of interesting to for students to know, especially like you said, this time of year, Jay, you know, they're probably thinking about that application process, either to a Business Academy, a work experience program, or our apprenticeship. How did you prepare? How did you start your research? And what did you do to kind of help you get through that application process?
I remember it was my first ever interview. I'd never done one before, so it was pretty daunting. But the interview you can definitely prepare for. So for what I did was, I had like four pages like kind of like laying out in front of me while I was on the phone, and one of them had like kind of key attributes that I'd done in my life, or like my CV that I thought I kind of wanted to kind of mention whilst I was on the call. And then another thing I did was I did a lot of research on EY, so I had like another few pages that were literally just about kind of EY facts, like even down to how many people are employed by EY, because
yeah.
I think this is the same with any company. They want to know that you're interested in working at that company, and so it's really good to show that you have that knowledge. So
yeah.
I kind of written all this down and memorized it, but I had it in front of me as well, just so when I was on the phone I could kind of come across as if I had been a bit clued up. And I think that preparation, which doesn't take too long, but it is really important to show that you're kind of interested in working in a big four company.
Yeah, amazing. And then I think with the strengths, obviously, that we have an application process where we're talking about strengths a lot of the time with students. What strengths do you have? You know, these can be anything. These can be, you know, collaboration and team player, agility, being able to adapt. Jay, I'll come to you in the world of tax.
I think it's good if you're friendly, because the way that tax works is you get pulled onto projects because you've worked with someone else on a project and they think, oh, they were good on that, or that they were a good team worker, so I'll bring them onto this project, or through recommendation.
Great. And yeah, any strengths that you have that you've always had and that you do really well in for assurance?
I definitely think being like a team player and really communicating with your
yeah.
team, because it's so important to express when you're not doing well, when you need the help. And people are more than willing to give you the help when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically where you get your knowledge from, and that's how you learn and improve. And I really think that's important. And then they're likely to say, oh, I know someone who's good at that, and they'll bring you with them when they go on their next client, and then you meet more people and then you just grow from there. And it's exactly the same thing, like being friendly. You've got to bring yourself forward well. You don't want to be the one that's you can be quiet, but you don't want to sit back. You need to make sure people recognize you and you make a good impression.
Yeah. And in the in the application process, there is kind of a numerical element, and it's called a numerical reasoning test that you both sat. How much maths do you need to have, or don't you need to have, in order to kind of get through these these qualifications, these exams, and your job really? Do you need to be a mathematician?
I wouldn't say you had to be a mathematician. I just say you'd need to have like a relative knowledge. Yeah. Like GCSE knowledge would be enough and you could get yourself through it. I was doing A-level maths at the time, so it worked nicely with me. But I know that some people that didn't do maths and they passed it fine.
And then, so you've got obviously, you're doing your qualification, you've got a full-time job, you're trying to live a life. Obviously at the moment it's living a life in lockdown, but you also have your own life. Can you talk me through how you balance that work life and study? What things do you do that you think students would really benefit from knowing?
I mean, I'm kind of cheating here because I'm going to tell you about my routine that I started only this year. But it was kind of a New Year's resolution, but it's been working pretty well. So
Ooh.
What I do is I kind of wake up at 7:30.
Yeah.
And I will literally just kind of take my morning like really slowly and chill.
Yeah.
I still don't start work until about, I don't get on my laptop till about 8:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really good because it's a bad habit to get into where you're just waking up and going straight onto your laptop.
Yes.
Which I did kind of fall foul to last year a little bit. It's just an adjustment because no one's used to this. So it was a good adjustment. But I start doing that and then I'll work till about maybe 11:30. And then I'll do like a workout. I actually do a workout with some colleagues at EY over the Microsoft Teams.
Oh, wicked.
Every
That's
day.
Cool.
So,
using Teams. Great.
Yeah, using Great. Microsoft Teams as well. So that's really interesting. And then I'll go have a lunch break. And I kind of make sure I have like my full lunch break because otherwise you can kind of think, oh, I'm at home and my workplace is at home, so I might as well stay at work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's good to have that kind of just log off. I make sure I'm kind of off before 6 just because it's bad to kind of draw out your evening because I did that a bit last year as well. I was thinking I'm at home, so I should kind of continue.
Yeah.
But no, it's kind of just basic stuff that is good to get into a good habit.
Yeah, definitely. And you, Nia?
So I'm similar. So when I was working in the office, I was getting into the office about 8:30. Whereas at lockdown, I did the same thing and I was taking advantage of the lay-ins, I think, and just rolling out of bed and starting work.
Guilty.
Yeah. But I've now sort of made a better routine for myself. So now I like go and have my breakfast. I make myself a cup of tea and get ready for the day.
Can you talk a bit about the training and development that you've had with that and the support that you are getting? You've both mentioned your counsellor, you've both mentioned your buddy, but what kind of support are you getting for that development and the training that you're having?
I think EY has a lot of support networks and they're very big on well-being. I got an email like the other day about kind of mental health and kind of your well-being, I think just this morning as well. And they always kind of come attached with loads of resources. So you know who to go to within EY if you're feeling a bit down or if lockdown's getting you down, which it is getting a lot of people down at the moment.
Yeah.
Then in terms of like support networks, your team, they're all really understanding it more often than not. And because everyone is literally working from home, we've decided to set up like more frequent calls with each other just because mm-hmm. you don't have that social aspect of going into the office every morning and going good morning. And so it'll be a bit lonesome if you're kind of starting your day and you don't have any calls because then you are just kind of sitting at a laptop. So we do try to have more frequent kind of calls just to catch up with each other.
But you also have like training weeks, like I know in audit we have these 101 and we have 201 in your second year, and you do like a whole week of learning different practices about your work, so you'll then have some sort of insight when someone asks you to do something, you go, oh, I remember someone telling me about that before. And we have these online learnings as well, which are called Weebles. And there's a vast range of things that you learn there, just even like workplace etiquette, noticing things, how to report things if there's something you think's going wrong. You learn so many things in different ways, like you'll learn it from people, but also you get that training as well.
Yeah, and putting it into practice really helps.
Yeah,
actually get
definitely.
It
definitely.
And what about for your progression? So obviously you are a year and a half in, you're learning every day, you're learning loads of different clients and speaking with clients. What is the career progression for you? Where do you want to get to in the next couple of years? What's that path to progression for you? Nia, for assurance, what do you think?
So when we throughout the year we have these feedback cycles, and so you can really talk to your counsellor and say, I've done this these past few months, but I'd really like to have a go at trying different clients. So I'm we're called staff at the moment. We'll move on to being seniors hopefully next year. Cool. And then after that, after my apprenticeship, hopefully I want to move on to maybe becoming an assistant manager. But then
yeah,
I've also got the goal of I want to maybe try a different department as well. And there are those opportunities for you if you want to.
Is there any other client industries that you wanna dip your toe in, you wanna get your hands on?
Yeah, actually, probably tech, because it's getting massive. I mean, it's always been massive, but obviously with lockdown, it's zoomed.
Anything else for you, Nia? Any environments you want to get your hands on?
I want to move to the UK and I office, but doing retail and consumer products, and I find that really interesting. So I think that's something I want to branch out to eventually.
Cool. I just want to say thank you so much. It's been so good chatting with you both today. I think also just learning more about your business areas, what you do as apprenticeships, it's so insightful. So thank you, and just have a fabulous, fabulous rest of lockdown and afterwards.
If you've enjoyed listening to today's episode and want to find out more about assurance and tax at EY, head to our website at ey.com/UK/students.